RNZ Pacific correspondent Corey Hawkins is in Da Nang, Vietnam, where the Pacific Tuna Commission is meeting to decide the future of the world's largest tuna fishery. All 26 member countries are participating territories of the Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission, WCPFC, are custodians of the multi-billion dollar Pacific tuna fishery. Corey explains what's at stake.
The Pacific Tuna Commission is the body that decides on the rules and regulations that manage the fishery. So it's got this weird dynamic of the Pacific fishing, the Pacific Island nations who own sort of the resource where the tuna are migrating between the islands, EZs. And then you have the fishing countries, the foreign countries whose fleets travel thousands of kilometers to fish in Pacific waters. So obviously there's a lot of conflicting interests there, and the commission does everything by consensus, and so it takes a while to get anything. But some of the things they're looking at, harvest strategy development and implementation, including a management procedure for skipjack. Now, this management procedure for skipjack, at the moment, what they're doing is they haggle over what the conservation measures are in these meeting rooms. And what the scientists are proposing are a system that will, based on the health of the stock, trigger automatic responses and take out the politics from the fishery. There are ongoing reforms to improve the efficiency and efficacy of the compliance and monitoring scheme. The other advantage of having all of these bodies part of one membership is that everyone keeps an eye on each other in terms of who's behaving and misbehaving. And for instance, the hosts this time, Vietnam, are actually on the outside of the membership of the commission trying to get in. They're in a status called cooperating non-member country. And so because they're trying to get into the club that makes the rules, so to speak, they're behaving better and improving on issues like a couple of years back. I'm not sure if you remember, there was a blue boat problem in the Pacific. All of these Vietnamese blue boats are coming down and just going through the reefs, getting bitched in off the reefs, and then coming back up to Vietnam. And that has most of that has stopped. We've hardly seen any of those boats being picked up in the Pacific now. And some of that is down to the fact that Vietnam is tightening regulations here in its own country as it tries to get into the membership. Yeah, so that's the kind of dynamic that's going on. Also, some important measures are crew labor standards. Obviously, some atrocious records with how crew are treated, also deaths of crew at sea. And there was actually a statement made by the chair at the opening of the commission saying that they needed to really stamp down on this and really, really look at how they can improve crew labor standards. But then contradicting that, there was a Korean group that came through with a report, a cited report, listing the issues and incidents of mistreatment of crew and by country, and they weren't allowed to present it. So there's still a lot of toing and froing on issues like that. With the pandemic, obviously coming out of the pandemic, this is the first in-person meeting of the Tuna Commission, and the observers who are independent observers within each Pacific country that are usually watching how the placed on shipping vessels and watching how the fishing vessels are behaving and reporting that back independently were taken off of boats. And so that's another important issue, that they're looking to put observers back on the boat so that oversight is there.
So Vietnam's got a big stake in this. It's not a member of the commission yet. Who else is there?
Yeah, so there's I was looking through because I think the commission is the resource is a public resource. A lot of these documents from previous meetings on the commission website. And I was looking through, and Ecuador and El Salvador have been knocking at the door for ages. I was looking at some correspondence there where they're talking about, like, promising that they won't increase their fleet size. I'm not sure, but that some of them have quite a big share of the European market in terms of tuna loins. And so there's a couple of people on the outside that are fishing in the waters, and they're actually saying we'll follow the rules, but they're not actually being allowed into the group as members. So they're kind of on a kind of probation, but with no actual time limit on whether you get in or not. So yeah, so that Vietnam is in that category. And then the some of the dynamics at the negotiating table, I've been talking to some of the delegates here, are quite skewed. You've got these tiny Pacific Island nations against China, against the USA, against the European Union, all at the same table. So you can imagine trying to get a measure from, say, Solomon Islands or Niue through a consensus model is quite difficult.
The health of the tuna stock is leading the discussion. So, are there representatives from scientific bodies there, as well as the fishing industry?
Yes, a lot of the conservation measures are being driven by a lot of the conservation organizations that are interested in this fishery. Few charitable trusts are here, Worldwide Fund for Nature. The commission itself has its own scientific body, and they're actually quite independent. I've read some of the reports from the scientific body on the southern albacore tuna species, and some of those reports from even just from February this year were saying there hasn't been a stock take since before the pandemic. Like I think it's going back as far as 2015. And that they're really worried that if they keep on fishing in this way in the longline fishery, that the albacore stock will fall below the inter like an undesirable state. The complexity comes here with the different tuna species that are commercially valuable, and so there's different methods. So the main three methods used in the Pacific are Poland line, is to a lesser extent, but the main one is purslane and longline, and the purslane fishery. Which is mostly for skipjack tuna, is organized or is kind of semi-controlled and more stringently managed by a group of eight Pacific countries in which the tuna circulate that are called the parties to the Nauru Agreement, and so they're able to have stricter measures for that fishery. However, the longline fishery has less regulation, and it's more the problematic fishery, and they target the southern albacore.
Has there been any discussion about the price of tuna?
I haven't asked about the price of tuna, but there is a few industry people here as well, and I'm definitely thank you. I'll be one of the questions I'll be taking to ask. I've actually lined up an interview with a cannery representative from the UK to talk who's here and at the Pacific Commission. So yeah, I haven't heard anything about prices. As I said, this is a sort of a conservation management and rules of operating in the fishery kind of a meeting. So I'm not sure if there's even a subheading or any topic about prices or how that will affect. But thanks for the heads up. I'll ask.
So COP27's just wrapped up in Egypt. Was there any discussion there about the repercussions for the fishing industry?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the latest modeling for the tuna stock is that if the climate crisis continues to intensify, the stock will move eastwards, which would be moving out of Pacific exclusive economic zones and into international waters, and that would make it actually harder to regulate because international waters are harder for have a much broader rules that are. And much less regulation and oversight. So there's a lot of work going on, and some applications being put into. I've spoken with some people who are working with 14 Pacific countries to try and put in an application to the Green Climate Fund. They've actually had the concept approved, but the idea is that they build better early warning systems to track the tuna and make sure that they are prepared for if it does move east, that there are measures in place to. Kind of some of the thinking is put a sort of an ownership, a Pacific ownership over the stock, so that even if it moves out into international waters, there's still regulation and oversight and not a free fall just because the warming ocean drives them east and out of exclusive economic zones of the island countries.
That is Kōrui Hawkins, RNZ Pacific correspondent currently in Da Nang, Vietnam, where the Pacific Tuna Commission is meeting to decide the future of the world's largest tuna fishery.